All right, well, grab, I trust all of you got one of those resolution sheets this evening before you walked in. Does anyone need one? Looks like we're good. Okay. We are not going to take the time to run down points number 1, 2, 3, and 4. These are really somewhat common resolutions that you thank the host church and the speakers and so forth. We're grateful for Pastor Myers and his work as the state missions director, even as he's pastoring at PEC as well. And grateful for his work and ministry among us. Do be praying that he'll be able to be back out on the road again. This has kind of diminished some of his ability to interact with pastors. He's on the phone and so forth, but would like to get out to preach more and so forth. So be praying for him. So come down to number 5 is where we're going to start tonight. Often these resolutions, as you know from the past as we've discussed them, we strive to deal with what's going on some in our culture and how a church should, or churches, our association should rightly respond to those things. What is the biblical view on whatever the matter is, all right? So, and these are somewhat formal statements, so there are resolutions, so you start with a whereas, all right, here's the condition, and now here's what we're going to do about it, right? And you can see how that's set up. Whereas the Illinois State Board of Education has mandated pro-LGBTQ and whatever other letters are behind there, and that's the reality. You even ask them, and they have, and that's why they usually put the plus sign, right? As they have mandated this propaganda, and that's an important word, in our public schools, therefore be it resolved. So what should we do about institutions that openly and publicly promote unbiblical views of both sexuality and the marriage union? What we have here is sinners joining hand with sinners, even literally, in rebelling against God's plan and standard for life and family. And they're thrusting it on the next generation. To say this carefully, because I realize we have folks in our congregation that have their children in public schools, but I must, as your pastor, encourage you, be careful. We have the joy and blessing in our day and age and in our culture and time to homeschool. I would love to sit down with anyone that wants to discuss how best can I train my children and bring them up so they have good knowledge. I mean, they need to be smart people. They need to be aware of their world and how our Bible interacts. But this is permeating even what we might call some of our best public schools. It's there, and you have to fight against it. If your children are in a public school, mom and dad, you have a duty before God to counteract that teaching every day when they come home. And my fear is that even that counteraction may not be enough, because those children are with their pupils and with those teachers for hours every week, and that's hard to overcome. So anyways, because of this, notice what our resolutions are. What do we resolve, all right? Therefore, be resolved that the AIBCI, as an organization, rejects such ungodly teaching as described in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. We oppose government curriculum that marginalizes biblical views, puts it to the side. Our nation was actually founded on biblical principles and truths, on a biblical philosophy of governance and a biblical philosophy of life, actually. They understood that government should be limited. It is not the God, all right? So we mourn, and that's, again, another important word. We mourn tax-funded anti-Christian indoctrination in public education. We are to be wise concerning, this is not the Romans 14 passage, I'm sorry, Romans 16. We are to be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil, Romans chapter 16. Our children do not need to know the depths of sin in order to avoid it or even to interact with this world. No, they need to be a shining light of the truth of the gospel. They need to demonstrate that that is all counterfeit, that it's wickedness, by living and knowing what is right and good and living it out that way. So also let it be resolved that we will teach our congregations and children. So here's, we tried to make this practical to us. so that we will teach our congregations and children the Lord's plan for marriage and the family, as demonstrated, for instance, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. God made them male and female. They are to be together till death do them part, right? I realize that's not scriptural words, that's our vow words, but scriptural principle, all right? In fulfillment of Christ's direction, as we see in 1 Corinthians 5 and 9, we will exercise patience and love toward those who are confused about their sexuality. So how do I interact with these people? Do I scream and yell in their face? No, they're human. Many of them are utterly deceived by Satan. They don't know better. And so I give them truth and love, essentially. We are also determined to pray. There was a typo there, and I mentioned that we didn't catch it. Through a number of hands, we didn't catch that. But anyways, to pray that our state leaders would repent of these ungodly decisions. They would turn and change for the purity of the minds of our youth and the good of our state. We want to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Now, my encouragement to you, we are going to stop, Lord willing, on a couple of these other points to look up the scripture passages. Look up those. Those are the biblical foundation for some of those statements. So take some time, maybe when you study tonight or tomorrow, maybe even your personal devotions, and pull those up. That would be helpful. Let's go on to point number 6 on the back side of your page. Whereas the Bible teaches, for instance, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's right, teaches, and then I enjoyed this, Pastor Talbert, you can see he's on the list there. He was the one that wrote both resolutions 5 and 6, and then Pastor Collard and myself and the board did some tweaking on it. I appreciate him quoting this wonderful children's song. So whereas the Bible teaches that red and yellow, black and white are all precious in God's sight, and that the AIBCI continues to be sensitive to social injustices, the realities of what they really are in James 5, it's mentioned, and to build churches that are ethnically diverse, Romans 16, all man is worth reaching, all right? Philippians 2, 1 and 2, various different peoples, but we draw them in. And we seek to model the attributes of love and equality in the Lord's church as made possible through Jesus Christ. You see, we all need Christ. We are all, who are we ultimately? What are the two groups, the two biblical groups of humanity? The lost and the saved. That the lost and the saved. All right? God does not divide us by skin color, by national borders, in the sense of, he appreciates national borders, I will tell you, as you study scripture, but he doesn't reach just Americans, or just Brazilians, or just Germans, no. There is those who have accepted Christ, the saved, and those who have rejected Christ, or need to come to Christ, the lost. There is the major difference in humanity, and we are, as the saved, to do all we can to help the lost come to know Christ, all right? So, and another paragraph, another condition here. Whereas the Black Lives Matter organization has been unashamed in promoting unbiblical ideologies, including the murder of unborn babies, attacks on traditional family values, advancement of homosexuality and other deviant forms of sexual behavior, a socialist communistic form of government, promotion of mob violence, and intersectionality. Does everybody know what that is? Okay, intersectionality is essentially trying to divide us into various groups, ethnic, skin color, education. So, in a sense, you find, and really what it comes down to is you find your identity, who you are, in your group. It's a very, it really is comes out of a communistic philosophy of life, all right? You have the bad capitalists or the owners, landowners and bosses, and then you have the laborers, the workers. That's the two great classes in communism. And you always have to throw off the landowners. Well, it's just a wonderful ploy for a tyrant to say, I'll lead you. And then he becomes the boss. And he's relying upon the dullness of mind of those he's led in order to gain his power and to take advantage of those. All right, so intersectionality is a huge, it's a hot topic word to divide us in all. So, you know, well, I'm Cherokee, or I'm Navajo, or I'm a African American, or, you know, for me, I'm Swedish. Watch out. All right, and you aren't. Now, obviously, right now in intersectionality, the great sin is to be white. So anything else is good. Any other group that you want to put yourself into, but if you're white, and especially if you're a white man, because you're a white man, you're sinful. You are wicked. That is the sense of this intersectionality. So they divide us and conquer us is what they do. That's really that philosophy that does that. Okay, therefore be it resolved. All right, now, here we go. That the AIBCI opposes the Black Lives Matter organization and rejects their positions and practices as unbiblical and ungodly. I realize that many of you would understand that and concur. That we will continue to seek the salvation of souls without regard to ethnic or social background, gender or sexual identity, and that we will attempt to advance the cause of Christ without respect of persons. So now, grab your Bibles, please. This is not just a time to learn a few things from a paper. I want you to see it in the black and white in the scriptures, right? James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 1, my brethren. So James talking to fellow believers. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You can't live out God's faith following the Lord as your Lord and Master and then have respect of persons in the sense that I like this person and don't like this person. For whatever division reason, it is. All right? That's intersectionality. I cannot have the faith of the Lord and have intersectionality. All right? Make choices about you by arbitrary or something that you can't change, arbitrary decisions, all right? So, you know, I can't say just because you wear glasses, you are not welcome at Heritage Baptist Church, all right? Out we go. You glasses people are wicked. And that's how arbitrary intersectionality can be, all right? So, don't have it that way with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, something that's disgusting, and ye have respect, you honor him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou. Now, I realize, again, that's an old English word, gay, we've unfortunately taken away. That word gay, actually, in some of its original meaning, is a beautiful term. Happy clothing. I hope my clothing tonight is somewhat happy to you, all right? That I don't look dull and morbid, all right? Make sense? All right, but this is, the word would be here in the Greek, have the idea of this glamorous or glorious clothing, all right? So you have respect to this person with gay clothing and say unto him, sit thou here in this good place. And then you say to the poor, stand out, just would you stand over there, please? Or sit here under my footstool in this very lowest of servant places. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? You see, you only look at the outside. You don't judge the person for who they are as made in the image of God. All right? Are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Your mind is filled with wickedness. Notice the Lord has some pretty strong words about what we just described, intersectionality. Racism, true racism, is wickedness. If I favor you because of the color of your skin, that's wrong. I should favor you because you're a human. And I should demonstrate the love of Christ to you, who loved the world red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Every one of them. And I realize I'm, in a sense, preaching to the choir tonight. You appreciate and know that, but it has practicality for us here, and James makes it really, really clear. Now, folks, let me encourage you at Heritage Baptist Church. I'll finish reading the passage in just a minute. And this is really a prod to keep you, those of you here directly tonight, many online, all right? Keep up doing what you're doing. May every guest that walks in the door of Heritage Baptist Church feel welcome. No matter how they're attired, as according to James 2, no matter what the color of their skin, no matter what they may smell like, or what they may park in front of our church building. Remember the truck driver that stopped by? Now, appears though he knew the Lord and so forth. Big military machinery on, you know, tank mover or whatever, parked right out there on the gravel side, but that's great, all right? They should, the moment they hit our door, they should not be confused about who Jesus Christ is. They should know that Jesus loves them. Now, they'll see you, and they'll realize that we adorn holiness here. That's appropriate and right with how we look. We don't dress up because we are more important than them or better than them. We dress up because we worship a holy, righteous God, and He deserves our honor. And they should catch that. They should be able to tell by our demeanor, by how we interact, by what we say, and how we worship our Lord that, oh, they value their God. And it's demonstrated in all who they are from the inside out. All right? Anyway, may God help us to cherish every soul. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road sometimes. Well, I'll pick out our Highways and Hedges kids for a minute, right? The kids that come on the shuttle bus. Well, when we don't know the whole family and they're here and because we've brought them here, it could be a tendency of our carnal heart. When they start bugging my kid, what are we doing bringing them here? Why do we let those cooties in the door? And that's wickedness. That's evil thoughts. Now, again, I know that I'm preaching somewhat to the choir, but may we guard our hearts, because there's always going to be the temptation, the tendency to judge someone not by lost and saved, not because they're a brother, humanly speaking, but because of some other reason. We become partial in our thinking, and we've got to guard against that, all right? May all who walk in this door believe to be welcome and know that they're welcome. All right, verse 5. Hearken, my brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? It's often the poor that understand their desperate needs spiritually, and they're the ones that come. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you? Draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Now see, He is now providing, and just make this note, He is now providing spiritual judgment. Often a rich man actually has an evil heart and will be here to destroy the church. But notice the judgment isn't the outward. He's judging what that person is like and who he is. And we are called by God to help the ungodly come to Christ. We are called to protect the flock from spiritual destruction, from disunity. Those are the right things to judge life by, because they're God's truth, not by something just external. Okay? All right, now let's keep on going. Back to our notes. Let me finish the scripture passage. This is good. Verse 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. Treat that person as you would desire to be treated. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Wow. To respect people, to judge them by externals, by intersectionality, is sin. That's a pretty powerful statement. James is being pretty black and white here. All right? as far as morals go, and not skin color, just so you know. That wasn't meant to be a pun, all right? Really, really important that we judge righteous judgment, not superficial judgment. Okay, back to our notes then. Well, point number 7. And this is just a note of encouragement and we'll be done. Whereas the fellowshipping churches of the AIBCI, along with our beloved brethren around the world, have faced the challenges to our health from COVID-19. I realize that it's been called a pandemic. In some respects, it is. But as I understand and know history, there have been pandemics in the past that have slain hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Entire populations of cities and so forth almost. I am grateful that the COVID death rate is very, very, very minimal compared to number of cases, known or unknown. Aren't you glad for that? So we see God's mercy in the midst of hysteria in our world. And I'm grateful for that, okay? So we did not choose to use the word pandemic on purpose. All right? I realize that you could call it that, and I'm not against someone calling it that. I understand. But we've had much worse in our world history than COVID-19 as far as health threats go. All right? So we have faced these challenges and the challenges to our cherished freedoms of worship and assembly, and they've come through government dictates and guidelines. Therefore, be it resolved. All right, so we've encouraged our church families here in the state of Illinois, a part of our association, that the AIBCI continues to promote faithful and regular prayer and encouragement for the spiritual and physical well-being of each other. Remember, we saw Sunday night, Dr. Schmig pointed this exact verse out, 3 John verse 2. He prayed that they would be well and in health, well spiritually and in health. It's biblical for us to pray for each other's health. Can I put it this way? It's super biblical. It's really good to pray for our spiritual well-being, all right? So as well, we need to, second point really, to pray for the Lord's restraining of government interference. I pray that you're praying that. I know that many of you, I did not pray specifically up here publicly tonight about the elections that are still ongoing. Keep praying, folks. If God does some great work, it's because God does it. He is the one that can turn the heart of the king. He is the one that can reveal wickedness and bring shame to it and promote righteousness. You keep praying. But let us also pray that God will continue to let us live out our freedoms that he's designed us to have, all right? I mentioned it earlier in the service tonight. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Now, that's just an acknowledgement by our human government that we have specific freedoms given to us by God, our Creator, as individuals. And one of those freedoms, and that's not the only one, but one of the great freedoms is that we can gather together and worship. I have a very command of God as a child of his to gather with you. If I don't gather, what do we call that? If it's a command of God and I don't do it, what do we call it? Sin. And then I have, as you'll see here at the end, Hebrews 10:25, the challenge to gather more and more as the day approaches. What day? The day of the Lord's return. The time of judgment coming. I'm supposed to be with you. I don't know that I've said this yet in our church publicly. I've said it to some of you individually. There's another great command, and we looked at it when we were walking through the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. How am I to greet you? With what? A holy kiss. Come here, sweetheart. Anyways, okay. Now, culturally appropriate, intimate interaction. Again, it's an imperative by the Lord. What do I do with that? Ignore it? Put it aside? God has designed us to be together. Now, is part of our care for one another to not pass germs to each other? I think so. And I think we know how to do it fairly well around here. And I'm grateful that God has interceded and cared for us. Aren't you? I am too. But I must It's not my call. It's God's call, and He's called me to gather and to greet you. So with everything I know how, we're going to continue to do that, all right? Okay, so we need to pray for the Lord's restraining of government interference, and then as necessary, we will, as an association and maybe even in individual churches, petition those human governments that they would not hinder our obedience to the Lord's command to faithfully gather together as church families in worship and service to Him, Hebrews 10:25. Gather together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it's really important in this challenging days and what it is that we gather with one another, encourage one another, be faithful. Let me encourage you. Some are striving to be careful with their health. What should we do about that? Get on the phone and talk to them. There's folks that haven't assembled with us yet. What do we do? They're our brethren. They're a part of our church assembly. Encourage them. Be a part of doing that. Make at least that connection with them. May they know that we love them and want to see them soon. That's really important. And then continue to pray that God watches over us, that God would bless and prosper our ministry in every way and demonstrate that He is bigger than COVID-19. And how do I live that out in my life? Well, I'm going to trust Him. Now, I know some of us, here we are. It was a joy to interact with some pastors this week and in some respects with glee say, I'm post-COVID. All right, I'm glad for that. Could be in a few months so I could get it again. We're not sure about all that. Can a person get reinfected? But I do know this, that my God is bigger than COVID, that my life is in His hands, and I want us to continue to follow the Lord as we assemble together and worship one another. And I'm grateful for an association that says amen to that. Being careful, but also striving to be godly. Okay, well, I hope this is encouragement. I know I've gone just a little longer than normal, but let me take the time to say, is there any questions on any of these points or something that was confusing that I didn't explain well, or it maybe brought up another question, all right? Anything at all? I know that we often don't take questions on Wednesday nights, but glad to do that. Anything at all that crossed your mind? We'll remember as soon as I pray, right? That's okay. Feel free to discuss this further. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for